Pray that just as in the hymn we have sung, that we may be worthy of the great gift which you bestowed upon us, that gift of grace when you sent your Son to die for us upon the cross. We thank you for that great sacrifice. We thank you that he rose again from the dead. We thank you that he ascended into heaven, where he sits now at your right hand, interceding for us. We thank you for his life and ministry and his example upon this earth. Help us to walk worthy of our calling. We pray that you would strengthen us in our ministry. We pray that you would help us to put aside the things of the world and to take into our hearts your word of truth. We pray, dear Father, that you would be with those who are unable to be with us today. We think of them, and we know that they will be thinking of us, and we pray that you will be with them. Those who are living alone, we especially remember them, and we pray, Father, that you would be with them and comfort them and strengthen them. And we pray, dear Father, that as we go from this place today, having heard your word being expounded, we pray that you'll help us to keep these words in our heart and mind, and also keep the word in our hearts and minds also. And so, dear Father, we give you thanks for all your many blessings, both spiritual and earthly. And we give you thanks in Christ's name. Amen.
Amen.
Right, we're going to sing hymn number 18, and after we've sung this, I'm going to ask Mr. Neil Harkness if he'll come and read Psalm 30 for us, please. So hymn number 18, From Every Stormy Wind That Blows.
Oh, wind that blows.
spirits blend, where friend holds fellowship with friend, those on the fall by faith I meet, around one common mercy seat. Tis there our gracious Saviour sheds the oil of gladness on our heads, a place that all besides more sweet, it is the blood-stained mercy seat. There, there on eagle wings we soar, and sense and sin molest no more. Yea, heaven runs down our souls to greet, and glory crowns the mercy
seat. We're going to read now Psalm 30. I will extol thee, O Lord, for thou hast lifted me up, and hast not made my foes to rejoice over me, O Lord my God. I cried unto thee, and thou hast healed me. O Lord, thou hast brought up my soul from the grave, thou hast kept me alive, and I should not go down to the pit. Sing unto the Lord, O ye saints of his, and give thanks at the remembrance of his holiness. For his anger endureth but a moment, in his favour is life. Weeping may endure for a night, but joy cometh in the morning. And in my prosperity I say, I shall never be moved. Lord, by thy favour thou hast made my mountain to stand strong. Thou didst hide thy face, and I was troubled. I cried to thee, O Lord, and unto the Lord I made supplication. What profit is there in my blood when I go down to the pit? Shall the dust praise thee? Shall it declare thy truth? Hear, O Lord, and have mercy upon me, Lord. Be thou my helper. Thou hast turned for me my mourning into dancing. Thou hast put off my sackcloth and girded me with gladness, to the end that my glory may sing praise to thee and not be silent. O Lord my God, I will give thanks unto thee for evermore. Indeed, amen.
Well, before our principal, Mr. Alan Schofield, brings an exposition from the Word of God, we're going to sing hymn number one, sing of the things which Christ hath done, sing of the glories he hath won, sing of his vast eternal love, sing of our living head above.
Sing of the things which Christ hath done, sing of the glory to this hour. Sing of the
Well, it's a joy to be celebrating with you all this wonderful anniversary service. And I always associate with anniversary the word thanksgiving. This question of thanksgiving, or to be thankful, or to give thanks, it's one which many people do on a daily basis. For example, if we turn to Matthew 15. You know, this word thanks or thanksgiving is usually associated with the word grace and so on, and here we get the example from our Lord himself. In verses 34 to 36 it says this, "And Jesus said unto them, How many loaves have ye? And he said, Seven, and a few little fishes. And he commanded the multitude to sit down on the ground. And he took the seven loaves and the fishes, and look, he gave thanks, and brake them, and gave them to his disciples, and the disciples to the multitude." So here we have an exhibition of our Lord giving thanks for what he had received and the food that he was about to offer to these people. So we are thankful today on this 58th anniversary meeting to have been given journeying mercies, to share fellowship one with another and with the Lord. All these cause us to give thanks. The psalmist could write in our reading in verses 4, he said this, "Sing unto the Lord, all ye saints of his, and give thanks at the remembrance of his holiness." And then when we turn to verse 12, he says, "To the end that my glory may sing praise unto thee, and be not silent. O Lord my God, I will give thanks unto thee forever." Friends, this is a beautiful psalm, and one of many which gives thanks to our Heavenly Father. And as we scan down these wonderful words, we pick out certain verses. Look what he says in verse 5. "For his anger endureth but for a moment. In his favour is life. Weeping may endure for a night, but joy cometh in the morning." So we can see from this psalm alone, there is this sense of thanksgiving. And this is portrayed throughout the Psalms. Many of the Psalms tell us of this joy. No wonder it was the Bible's hymn book that it could sing these Psalms with such fervour and meaning. Now let's just look at two others before we move on. If we turn to Psalm 107. This is how it begins. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endureth forever. If that isn't a wonderful truth to give thanksgiving for, I don't know what is, that his mercy endureth forever. And then we turn to the Psalm 118. Again, the psalmist begins the same way. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord for his goodness, because his mercy endureth forever. So we have a demonstration here in the Old Testament of the mercy of God. You know, there are those who claim that the New Testament is the book for us, and in fact, there's a church called the New Testament Church of God. You can't have any understanding or a full understanding of the New Testament unless you have a knowledge of the Old. Because one is a completion of the Old, a fulfillment of the Old. So to dissect the Word of God in that way is quite wrong. Because we find that the mercy of God is demonstrated right the way through the Old Testament. We don't have two gods, one of the old, one of the new. You know, many Christians argue, I like the God of the New Testament, but not the God of the old. And they must be saying that in ignorance. Because if they knew the God of the Old Testament, they would see it's one and the same. So we find then that there is no contradiction here. So both these Psalms, 107 and 108, begin with the same wording of thanks. Now when we read what God did for his people in their deliverance from Egypt and their preservation through the wilderness right down to the present day, one would think their appreciation and thankfulness would be overwhelming. And when you look at that history, when you look at that nation of Israel and you see what trauma they've been through, not just in our lifetime, which is bad enough, when you look what happened in the last 50 years to that nation, but going back centuries through the old, how they've been persecuted, how they've been abused, and so on. And yet, today, they're still there. You would think that the appreciation of this nation would be overwhelming. Well, apart from a few, that is not the case. That is not the case. And so very often we look at this nation of Israel, unless we're careful, and we think, well, how can they behave in the way they do? How they can be arrogant, they can be very unfriendly, as I've had a personal experience of that recently. And you say, why? Do Christians fare any better? I think not. Those who rejoice in the truth of a rightly divided word and see this unique ministry of Paul are clearly taught the importance of giving thanks in every department of our lives. If we fail to see that, then there's something wrong with our understanding of God's word. Friends, we have so many blessings in him. If we were to catalogue them, we'd be here all night. Let us just turn to Romans chapter 1. Romans chapter 1. Verses 7 and 8. The apostle writes, to all that be in Rome, beloved of God, called to be saints, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. First, he says, I thank my God through Jesus Christ for you all, that your faith is spoken of throughout the whole world. So right at the outset of this mighty epistle, Paul uses this word, thanks. You know, in one of his legalistic arguments, and Paul has many here, it's pretty obvious when you read his works, that his writings, that Paul was indeed a lawyer. But in these arguments he uses, or his summing up of an argument, it comes out. We just turn to Romans 7, verses 24 and 25. He says this: O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? Then he says, I thank God, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Then, with a mind, I myself serve the law of God, but the flesh, the law of sin. So he had this conflict going on within him. Haven't we all been there? Sometimes we know what we should be doing, and yet we're doing the very opposite. Because there's this conflict between the true nature, the new nature and the old. And Paul was no exception to this. And to me that is a comforting thought. These great men of God have had this conflict within themselves. But he could say, I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. You know, Paul, after opening the glorious epistle to the Ephesians, well, let's just turn and we'll read his words. Ephesians 1. Verses 15 to 19, he says this: Whereof I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus, and love unto all the saints, cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercy, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. And then this other verse which Alan quoted this afternoon: the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling, and what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints. What is part of that enlightenment, friend? It is giving thanks. And not only to God, but to each other. Well, verse 15: Wherefore I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus, and love unto all the saints, cease not to give thanks for you. So there's nothing wrong if we express to each other this thankfulness. You know, it is so easy to take things for granted. It is so easy to give somebody a job to do and then let them get on with it and never say thank you. That is contrary to the spirit of the Word of God. We are thankful for what he's done for us, and we are thankful for what others have done for us also. So there is this unity between believers and our Heavenly Father in Christ. Ah, when we turn the page to chapter 2 of Ephesians, and pick the reading up at verse 4, these are some of the reasons why we've got to be thankful. He says, But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. And then he slips this in: By grace are ye saved, and hath raised us up together, and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace and his kindness towards us through Christ Jesus. It just appears to me, as I read these words, that God is anxious to lavishes with his goodness and thankfulness and kindness. And when you look at your own situation, what has commended that to him? Well, certainly not what anything I've done or thought. But we find that he's willing to lavish us with all these wonderful blessings. And that is, again, a source for thankfulness. You know, we can read these words. We can become so familiar with these words that we read from the prison epistles that sometimes they're just words on a page. There's times to stop and just look at these things from the point of view of giving thanks. Just turn to the Philippian epistle. Verse 3. He says, I thank my God on every remembrance of you. You know, there was this affinity between this Philippian epistle, the Philippians rather, and Paul. They were very closely knit together. And they looked after Paul's physical needs on more than one occasion. That's why he appreciated that. And that's why he writes, I believe, in this vein, I thank my God upon every remembrance of you. Well, let's continue. Just turn the page to Colossians. Again, verse 3. We give thanks to God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, praying always for you. Again, using this word. Verse 12. Giving thanks unto the Father, which has made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light. You know, when we examine these terms, how can we fail not to give thanks to God for what he's done for us in Christ? Well, Colossians 2:7. Rooted and built up in him, and established in the faith, as you have been taught, abounding therein, here it is, with thanksgiving. There isn't one area of our faith, of our blessings, but what doesn't demand some response in thanksgiving and thankfulness to our Heavenly Father. In chapter 3, in verses 15 to 17, he says, and let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which also you are called in one body, and be ye thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, and singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. Whatsoever ye do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus. It is, giving thanks to God and the Father by him. We are indeed privileged people to see these glorious truths from God's word. And we shouldn't be taken lightly. Let's just go to Timothy before we finish looking at these references. 1 Timothy, chapter 2, verse 1. He says, I exhort, therefore, that, first of all, supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men. See, he's very demanding on this. And then in 1 Timothy 4, 3 and 4, forbidding to marry and commanding to abstain from meats which God hath created to be received with thanksgiving of them which believe and know the truth. For every creature of God is good, and nothing to be refused if it be received with thanksgiving. For it is sanctified by the word of God and prayer. Not only does he supply our spiritual needs, we find he supplies our physical needs, and we should embrace these with thanksgiving. So, the more you look at the life of Paul, the more you see his life was one of continual thankfulness to God for all that he had done for him. And when you think of that, you think, well, Paul was rather privileged. He had this good education. He was privileged to be the apostle to the Gentiles. He was privileged to have been given the truth of the mystery to reveal to man. Why shouldn't he give thanks? Well, on the surface of it, that is one argument. But let's look at the other side. If you turn to 2 Corinthians, 2 Corinthians, chapter 11. Verses 21. Onward, it says this. 2 Corinthians 11:21. I speak as concerning reproach, as though we had been weak. Howbeit, whereinsoever is any bold, I speak foolishly. I am bold also. Are they Hebrews? So am I. Are they Israelites? So am I. Are they the seed of Abraham? So am I. So Paul's pedigree is without question. He lays it before them here. Are they ministers of Christ? I speak as a fool. I am more in labors, more abundant in stripes above measure, in prisons more frequent, in deaths oft. Of the Jews, 5 times received I 40 stripes, save one. Thrice was I beaten with rods. Once I was stoned. Thrice I suffered shipwreck. A night and a day have I been in the deep. In journeyings often. In perils of waters. In perils of robbers. In perils of mine own countrymen. In perils by the heathen. In perils in the city. In perils in the wilderness. In perils in the sea. In perils amongst false brethren. Friends, that must have been the most dangerous one of the lot. Amongst false brethren. You can recognize the others. And you can cope with the others. But when you get false brethren, watch it. That is a dangerous one. Verse 27. In weariness and painfulness. In watchings often. In thirst and hunger. In hunger and thirst. In fastings often. In cold and nakedness. Besides those things that are without. That which cometh unto me daily. The care of all the churches. We tend to forget this. That even though he was going through these journeys and through these perils, and the list there is quite horrendous, he was responsible for the churches under his ministry. You know, that isn't to be taken lightly. He was concerned, as we've seen, the Colossians, the Ephesians, and the Philippians and so on. For he had the care of those. Verse 29. Who is weak? And I am not weak. Who is offended? And I burn not. In must needs glory, I will glory of the things which concern mine infirmities. The God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which is blessed forevermore, knoweth that I lie not. So, the list that he gives there, and the traumas he went through, he said, God knows I lie not. So this man did not exaggerate. This is a true record, I believe, of what Paul went through. And he stands before God with that record. Now, here's a man who was continually giving thanks. I think if that had happened to me, I should have been down the road. Friends, this man had had so much suffering, and yet he gave thanks for all that God had done for him. He didn't give thanks for the traumas he's been through. I mean, no sane man would do that. But I believe he was thanking God that he'd been brought through all these things that had happened to him. It is impossible to thank our Heavenly Father enough for all the superlative blessings we have in Christ. And yet, I have met Christians who find it difficult to say thank you. Isn't that amazing? They find it difficult to say thank you either to each other or whoever. And I find that quite extraordinary. And we've only to look at the book of Ephesians, haven't we? And that's enough to give thanks forevermore for what he's done for us in Christ. Paul, writing to members of the body, he does issue a solemn warning. And let's just turn to that. 2 Timothy 3. We know it, but let's have a look at it. We find a dreadful list given. First 5 verses says this. This know also, that in the last days, perilous times shall come. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, there it is, unholy, without natural affection, truth breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. From such, he says, turn away. Have nothing to do with them. But in that list, we find this word, unthankful. And that is a trait of the days in which we're living. People are never thankful. If they win a million on the lottery, many of them want 2 million. And so it goes on. They're never satisfied, never thankful. Isn't it sad? And yet, Paul here, this one, virtually penniless, scarred in body, I won't say mind, he was scarred in body for what he'd gone through. And every time he put pen to paper, he was giving thanks to his Heavenly Father through Christ for what blessings he had received. Now, recent events in America have demonstrated to each one of us the significance of verse 1 of 2 Timothy 3. This know also, that in the last days, perilous or dangerous times will come. Now, related to the days in which we live, as I say, we've had that demonstrated to us graphically. And possibly, that will not be the end of the matter. So we now ask ourselves, what protection do we have? If we're so vulnerable to these things, to the assaults of the evil one, what protection do we have these days? We can't perform a miracle, we know that. What do we do? Well, let's just look at verses 10 and 14 of this same chapter. But thou hast fully known my doctrine, he said, the teaching, manner of life, purpose, faith, long-suffering, charity, patience. Verse 14. But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them. So from those verses we get a clue as to where our defence lies. To continue in the things, he says, which thou hast learned. And what have we learned? All the doctrines that we've been learned, doctrines we've been taught from God's Word and from others, refer to these things that Paul is talking about. Let's just look at them. Ephesians 6. Ephesians chapter 6. Start the reading at verse 10. He says, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armour of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Now look at this. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armour of God, that ye may be able to stand in the evil day, and having done all to stand. Stand therefore. Friends, we get fed up with reading this word. Stand, stand, stand. This is our defence. That we stand in the truth that God has entrusted to us. Having your loins girded about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, he says, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked, and take the helmet of salvation, and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. That is our offensive weapon, isn't it? The word of God. All the rest, as we know, is defensive. praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints, and for me, that utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly, to make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador, he says, in bonds, that therein I may speak boldly, as I ought to speak. Ah, he mentions this word, ambassador. One who is a messenger, this is the meaning of the word, a minister, who represents a sovereign, or a state, of a foreign seat of government. That is an ambassador. We're ambassadors for Christ here. This is not our land. We're in a foreign country. Well, we're born in England. We're British on the passport. Might even be Greek. But the thing is this, that while we're here, we're in a foreign country. We're strangers and pilgrims. But we're ambassadors for Christ. We represent the one who has claimed us, Christ. That is our defense against all the evil and the trauma of this world today. Are we not also representing Christ in a foreign state? Truly, ambassadors of his. Would you go with me to Psalm 147? 147. It says, praise ye the Lord, for it is good to sing praises unto our God, for it is pleasant, and praise is comely. Look at verse 3. He healeth the broken in heart, and bindeth up their wounds. He telleth the number of the stars. He calls them all by their names. This isn't a God who is inconsequential. This is a God who is in full control of everything. This is a God who knows precisely his creation. And he has everything in the palm of his hand. Verse 5, great is our Lord, and of great power. His understanding is infinite. Oh, we reason things out, we just scratch the surface. He knows precisely what will happen. And friends, if he knows precisely what will happen, then he knows precisely where we are, what our situation is, and what we require. That is the promises. That is where we stand in this evil day. Look at verse 7. Sing unto the Lord with thanksgiving. Here it is. Sing praises upon the harp unto our God, who covereth them with clouds, who prepareth rain for the earth, and maketh grass to grow upon the mountains. You know, the more we see of God's provision for each one of us, we might wonder why we get concerned about things. But that is natural, isn't it? If you have a family, then you do get concerned about the world situation. But when you read what the Word of God says, and how he watches over each one of us, then I think it delays many of those fears. As we read these words, particularly the words that Paul wrote, what we must never forget is this, that even in the extreme conditions in Rome, Paul, when writing to Timothy, wrote these amazing words. Would you just go with me to 2 Timothy? 2 Timothy. Chapter 1. The first 4 verses, he says this. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, according to the promise of life which is in Christ Jesus, to Timothy, my dearly beloved son, grace, mercy and peace from God the Father and Jesus and Christ Jesus our Lord. He says, I thank God. He's a prisoner of Nero here. I thank God, whom I serve from my forefathers with pure conscience, that without ceasing I have remembrance of thee in my prayers night and day, greatly desiring to see thee. Be mindful of thy tears, that I may be filled with joy. And he was a man who was in prison in that place called Rome under Nero. Not a holiday, was it? And yet he could write in that vein. He was still giving thanks. He can't stop the man. No matter what our circumstances are, it is both our duty, I believe, and our privilege to give thanksgiving unto our Heavenly Father through Christ Jesus our Lord. No matter what our situation is, when we think of all that he has done for us, remembering God's greatest gift to us. Shall we just read that in 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians. And chapter 9. Verse 15. Just a two-liner almost. It says, thanks be to God for his unspeakable gift. Christ, that was God's unspeakable gift to you and to me. Because through him, by that gift being given, we find the fulfillment of many of the prophecies of the Old Testament. And not only that, we find that by giving Christ, this question of sin and death can now be dealt with. See, you and I can't do this. Even the great apostle Paul and Peter and others couldn't deal with this question of sin and death. Just one. The Lord Jesus Christ. And this was God's gift to us. To get us out of the situation that sin had put us in. Now when we think that for 58 years these meetings have taken place under the Brian Forward movement, and later on, of course, including the Brian Publishing Trust. And for 58 years, we've had men faithfully making known this truth of the mystery. And I think this is right and proper. That once a year, we come together and we remember those who've made these meetings possible. We know the Lord Jesus Christ, and he's given us the knowledge and the desire, the Holy Spirit has given the desire to do these things. But the men who have gone before, people like Mr. Welch, Stuart Allen, and others, who have faithfully ministered this word and have now passed these responsibilities on to us all. And so we do give thanks for the continuance of these things. Because there's coming a time, I believe, when the opportunities will get less and less. And we do know, without a shadow of a doubt, that there will come a time that the situation in most countries will be such that we won't have the freedom that we enjoy today. In many countries today, Christians are imprisoned and even put to death for the faith. And we tend to think that can't happen here. This happened before, during the Reformation. We found that anybody who read the Word of God in the English language forfeited their life if they were caught. For you see, the Satan is never idle. And he'll seize every opportunity. So while we have opportunity, let us rejoice in these times together and be thankful. But once again, we've been able to meet 58 times now. Marvellous, isn't it? We've been able, not me personally, but I'm looking at one down here, he's been here most of them anyhow. And he's met most of the times around this wonderful, rightly divided word in this celebration of the anniversary. So we do thank God, and we hope that in the future we should continue to do so. As we seek to serve him. Amen.
Thank you very much, Alan, for that exposition of God's word and thanksgiving. Let us close this meeting now by singing hymn number 64. O mind at perfect peace with God, O what a word is this.
Perfect peace with God, oh, what a word is this. A sinner reconciled with God, this is indeed his peace. By nature and by practice far, very far from God. Yet now by grace brought nigh to him, through faith in Jesus' blood. So near, so very near to God, I cannot near.
Unto each one of us, as you will, from what we've learnt today. Lord, maybe in the future as we listen to the tapes, you'll speak again to us, and you'll continue to guide us in these wonderful truths of which we know and are privileged to come in. We pray also, Lord, as we leave this place, that there'll be travelling mercies for each one. Lord, we just thank you for this time together. Now unto him that is able to keep you from falling, and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy. To the only wise God our Saviour be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and forever. Amen.
Amen. Amen.